welcome, everybody. It's time once again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, bon vivant and world traveler, Doug Gefeller.
I don't know where that came from, but hey, welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective.
Didn't you go somewhere? I thought you went somewhere here recently.
You want to count torrents?
Yeah, sure. That's a trip.
Well, it's good to be back with you. It's good to be back with you, Paul. I missed a couple of weeks, and I did miss it. So our topic for today is retirement, the next great adventure. It's time to redefine retirement. You know, much has been written about how to prepare financially for retirement, but little attention has been spent on what will be your new lifestyle. Are we talking a slow death by boredom or the excitement of a great new adventure? We'll look at it from both the individual and the company's point of view. We'll explore semi-retirement, the re-identification of self, the elderly entrepreneurship movement, and the retirement that never was. Well, before we get to that, I'm your host, Doug Gefeller. I've been a Master Certified Coach by the International Coach Federation since 1999, and I've been coaching business owners, senior executives, and their teams for 20 years here in Southern California, all under the banner of the Coaching Perspective. If you'd like to know more about our coaching services, just go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com, or you can reach us the old-fashioned way on the phone, 714-726-8354. Well, let's get to our show for today. Retirement, the next great adventure. Is that how you look at it, or is it the slow death? You know, why are we talking about this today? Well, we're talking about this because not only in my coaching practice, but everywhere there is more and more either a key topic of discussion on retirement, or it's the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. You know, the statistics are staggering, and we have probably all heard them, but let me just give you a couple of quick highlights. One, the Transamerican Center for Retirement Studies found that 82% of those age 60 and older either are or expect to keep working past the age of 65. That's 82% that's going to keep working. Two, among all workers, regardless of age, 20% expect to keep working as long as possible in their current job or a similar one. That includes the millennials and everybody else. Third, 42% of working-age Americans said they plan to semi-retire first, and we're going to talk more about that. But the significant thing is that that 42% is nearly double those current retirees who worked part-time before fully retiring. So, trend, people are not leaving. Last one, 41% of those choosing semi-retirement state it was to keep physically and mentally active. Did you hear me say anything about money there? No, you didn't. So this is why we're calling this period, and I ran across this in some of the literature, the retirement that never was, and I think that absolutely describes it. You know, our ideas and our plans are changing so quick about retirement is that we're forced to call this a revolution. But let's get away from the macro view of national statistics and talk about you, the listener here, or your clients, the coach. You know, in the past, the emphasis on retirement planning has been almost 100% on financial planning. Now, that's not to say that having enough money to live isn't important, but it's not the only thing. In fact, the more important thing, lifestyle, is what will really drive the economics, unless you're one of those rare individuals who's put enough money away to maintain your current lifestyle without working at all. Even if you have some kind of retirement savings, I don't care what number it is, 401k, 201b, whatever, even if you have some savings, most of us will want to supplement it with some additional income. So, retirement is not what we thought it was. You know, What do people say when you ask them what they're doing about retirement? I mean, you hear them saying that I'm never going to retire. I can't wait to retire. I don't want to talk about it. Well, you know, planning not to retire is not a viable retirement strategy. At some point in our lives, we're all going to stop working. And I don't mean necessarily that you stop breathing. I mean at some point, either mentally, physically, or emotionally, you're going to want to stop. But the reality is that most of us are going to keep working in some form longer than we have previously thought. You know, whether you thought you were going to work till 60 or 55 or 65, where did 65 come from? You know, where did we suddenly get this built-in number, built-in limitation that says when you reach 65, you get the gold watch and a kick out the door. When you reach 65, you're no longer capable. Well, the fact that we're all going to work longer than we thought, this is not necessarily bad news. It's not driven by not having enough money to stop working completely. In fact, it's good news. It's driven by people's desire to stay active physically, socially, and to provide value to society and to provide value to our own self-image. You know, many people have a list of goals and aspirations that they hope to accomplish when they wrap up their full-time working years. Maybe that's the bucket list. But are these side interests, or is this what you really want your new advocation to be? That's one of the things we kind of want to explore here today. You know, we might have gotten ahead of ourselves a little bit, so let's take a moment to define what retirement is to you. Because when we talk about retirement, I find no two people are talking about the same thing. So here's the test. Is it a period of doing nothing? Is retirement, in your mind, a point at which I do not do any kind of work? I do not do anything that has revenue attached to it whatsoever at all? Or is retirement that time at which you no longer have any value in your work environment? You have been labeled as retiree. You've been labeled as reaching the mandatory age, out the door. You have no value. Or let's look at a positive. Is it that time to finally pursue your passion for traveling or painting or teaching? Whatever it is, it's that thing that you want to do that you've always maybe wanted to do that has nothing to do with creating income. That's one way of looking at it. Is it the time to finally spend time with your family? Is it the time to have that job that you always wanted, but you couldn't take it because it didn't pay enough? So you had to take some other job to meet your economic demands. Is it the time to start your own company or another company if you've done it before? You know, is it an either-or choice? What do I mean by that? You know, the either-or logic says I have to pick this or that, one or the other, all or nothing. Meaning, does it have to be all doing nothing? Does it have to be all traveling? Or can it be some combination, some smorgasbord of all of the things that we just went through? And the last question I'm going to ask you in terms of retirement is, when does retirement start? Does it start when you physically stop working full time? Or does retirement start earlier as you get ready? Is there a lap over? Is there an overlap of what you're currently doing now, let's call it full-time standard employment, with your activities that we're going to call retirement, whether it is partial employment, whether it is partial pursuing passions or travel or whatever? You need to look at these things and think about what retirement means to you. What does that word mean, and how are you going to deal with it? Because what happens is, for many of us, we're scared to death of retirement. Why is it that retirement scares you so much? For many people, it's the loss of their identity. You know, identity meaning that title on the business card that you hand out to people. In my experience, owners and senior executives have more of a problem in this area than the typical employee. And why is that? Because owners and senior executives have been investing all of their time and money in pursuing the company's success. And it's a huge change for them to suddenly look at life without the company. On the other hand, employees, sadly, are usually less attached to both the company or their job, and as a result, they're more apt to have created an identity for themselves outside of their occupation. You know, we've talked on this show before, and we've had guests come in and talk about the fact of the statistics that talk about employees not being engaged and what a negative thing that is. Well, here's the flip side of it. Those employees that aren't totally engaged at work, their identity isn't totally tied to their job at work either. So when they leave, when they go into whatever retirement is, however they've defined it, they don't have that same loss of identity, that same who am I feeling that so many business owners and senior executives have who have committed themselves for a large portion of their life to the company. You know, the other thing to think about is who's talking about retirement here? Is retirement what you want? Or is someone else sort of nudging you into the retirement? Is it the company's rules and regulations? Is it the government's when they're going to start letting you pull down on your Social Security? Is that what you think is the trigger to retirement? Is it what your spouse is telling you should do, or your kids? Or is it your partner pushing you to get out and say, hey, retire, let me buy you out? You know, for many of us, our work is a form of addiction. And I mean that in a positive way, you know, and for us to give it up, excuse me a minute, for us to give it up, we need all of the things that are required when giving up any other addiction, such as smoking or gambling or drinking. What am I talking about there? If you're changing a habit, a major addiction in your life, whether it is the addiction habit of going to work at the same place every day, 8 to 10 hours a day, 5 days a week, and answering calls on your cell phone and working on your laptop all weekend, or whether it's gambling or smoking or drinking, if you're going to make that change, you need a support group. And more important, you need a reason to change. You know, it's much easier to change a habit when we are attracted to some new behavior rather than just running away from what we're currently doing. Let's think about that for a minute, because, you know, I've worked with in a coaching environment. I've worked with so many people that wanted to change habits. Some were big life kind of habits like retirement. Some were minor habits like going home earlier or not working on Saturday or not answering the company cell phone on the weekend. But all of those things, what do they tell us? What do the studies tell us about habits? You have to practice the new behavior for, most studies say, 20 consecutive days before that new behavior has in fact been ingrained and become a habit. Now, I think that applies to the sort of daily habits. I don't know how long it is for our life habits. But the key thing there is you have to want to make a change. The other side of your habit has to be so attractive that I'm willing to go through the pain and suffering and discomfort of no longer doing what has been normal and acceptable to me for so long. So what does this have to do with retirement? If you're going to think of changing your lifestyle, your work style of your life, then you have to have a clear picture of what you want to change it to. Not only do you have to have a clear picture, you have to have a compelling picture that makes you want to change it to that. You know, if you've done any work on visualization, they use it with athletes. That's, I think, where it started. Now coaches are using it. Businesses are using it. Everybody's using it. The idea is that, you know, if I want to buy a red car, a red sports car, then I should have a picture of a red sports car on my desk, and I should always be looking at that picture, and pretty soon it's so absorbed into my subconscious that everything I do will be sort of geared towards what do I need to do to get that red sports car. If you don't have a picture of what you want your retirement to be, how are you ever going to strive to make the change to get there? What this is going to require is it's going to require some pre-planning, or at the very least, if you can't pre-plan this retirement, an adjustment period from when you stop working to when you start whatever it is that retirement is going to be for you. You need to be in touch with people who have or are going through what you're going through. You need some help. It is difficult to do this alone. Okay, here's the pitch. Do you have a coach that can help you with this? Enough said about that. Not enough. Let me just say that I would say that the times that I have been asked to coach my clients on their retirement issues are some of the scariest times for me. Scariest in the sense that the amount of responsibility to be trusted to work with them to help them define this major change in their life is enough to make me nervous, and I'm not the one that's doing the retiring there. They're the one that's doing it. So, you know, great kudos to you if you are a coach and you have the opportunity to help somebody start to work through this, whether they are early in their career and they're forward thinking and want to start planning now, or whether their career is almost over in the traditional sense, and they need to get going on it. Great opportunity. You know, besides the addiction issue, we have many other excuses that everybody uses to avoid thinking about and planning for retirement. Have you ever used these? No, you haven't used them, but you've probably heard somebody else use them. Well, the company or the department couldn't survive without me. The people need me. They wouldn't know what to do if I didn't come in every day. Nobody else can do my job as well as I can do it. Come on. None of those things. Even if they're true today, that doesn't make them a truth for tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. It may be, in fact, a truthful condition that exists now because of the way you've been behaving, or the way you've not been behaving, you've not been delegating, you've not been training, you've not been coaching, you've not been encouraging people to take on more responsibility. But that can change so that those things that are keeping you from retiring or thinking about retiring, they don't have to be static and constants. They are facts that can change. You know, I think the main reason that retirement does not work for so many is that they've failed to redefine who they are and how they will spend their time. And, you know, I have to interject here and tell a story that I've told many times, and it's, you know, I just found it absolutely surprised me and was totally humorous. I was making cold calls to offer a service to business owners. And I made a call one day to a number to get a hold of the president of a car dealership, owner and president of a car dealership. And I dialed a number, and the person picked up the phone, identified himself as the person I was trying to get a hold of. And I explained why I was calling him, and that I was looking to talk to the owner or president of the company, and I had a unique service that would appeal to them. And he said, I'm sorry. He said, I don't own the company anymore. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. Did I get the wrong number? Is this your home number? And he said, no, this is the car dealership. I thought for myself. I said, oh, okay, so you aren't the owner, but you're still there as the key employer, or you're now the president or the executive vice president. What's your title? He says, no, you don't understand. I'm not employed here. I said, wait a minute, I'm totally confused. You don't own the company. You're not employed there. This number is the company. You don't happen to be just walking by answering the phone. He said, no, I'm here most every day. He said, I suppose you're totally confused at this point. I said, yeah. He said, well, let me explain to you. He said, I sold the business and I retired. I had sold the business. I stopped coming here. I had been working here for, and I forget how many years, 30 years or more. And I was here every day. I was here 5 days a week. I was here on the weekends. I was here all the time. I sold it. And I said, this is it. I'm going to stay home. He said, I hadn't been home a full month before my wife sat me down and she said, honey, let me explain something to you. I married you for better or for worse, but not for lunch every day. Get out of the house. I've had it with you being here every day interfering with my routine. He said, so I went back to the dealership and I talked to them and they were nice enough. They said, you know, you can be a great ambassador. You know everybody. You've owned the business for so many years. How about we just give you a desk and you can meet with people and greet them and you can make some calls and you can... You know, hey, he loved it. He said, this is great. He said, I don't have to be here. I don't have to work long hours. If I want to take 2 weeks off and travel with my wife, nobody cares. But when I do come here, I feel useful. I feel needed. And I like the idea that, hey, today I'm going to get up and I'm going to get dressed appropriately to go to the office. You know, so many people... He hadn't defined what retirement meant for him. In his mind, it was, I'm going to sit home every day with my wife. He didn't think to talk to her about that because she already had a life outlined that didn't include him sitting home every day with her. And by the way, he wasn't too happy with sitting home every day either. So he was fortunate enough to, you know, sort of recover quickly and redefine what retirement for him meant, which was, hey, I don't need to take home a check, but I do need a place to go to. I do want to go to the place that I'm familiar with, the industry that I'm familiar with, the company that I'm familiar with. I want to deal with my old customers, and this would be a lot of fun. But I want the flexibility of walking in and walking out. So what does that give you in terms of some ideas? Well, you know, what it points out is that no one size fits all. You know, this isn't the spandex expandable retirement solution that everybody from slim to fat can put on. You know, the adventure about retirement is this is a chance for you to define what you want your life to be from this point forward. You know, sure, there's some boundaries such as you may have a certain amount of money that you have to make. There may be some boundaries in terms of your health, in terms of family needs for your time and that. But the bottom line is that it is really more open with fewer boundaries than you've probably ever experienced in your life up until this point. You know, today's young and healthy 60-plus-year-olds have the ability to do things that were, frankly, not an option for their parents or their grandparents. What can they do? What could you do? Well, you can build on an existing skill, but applied in a new way. You can learn new skills. Go back to school. You don't have to go back for a degree. You're not interested in that. You're not going to send out a resume. But you might want to go back for specific knowledge, things to learn. You know, online learning has made it so easy. For some of us, lifelong learning is one of our values. You know, if I'm not learning something new, I get nervous. I need to learn something new. Do I want to get another degree? No. Do I want to go to school and have to attend a class on a regular scheduled basis? No. Am I interested in technology? Absolutely. Do I use my computer to its full capability? No. Do I take advantage of my Apple one-on-one membership? Oh, man, do I love that. This is when I buy a new Apple computer, I get for $99 a one-year membership that allows me to go online and schedule classes in any of the different things that they are teaching on how to use your computer one-on-one with an instructor for a half hour to an hour, or to schedule a work session where I can take my project in and get one of their instructors to work with me and help me on my project, whatever that is. I find that I love that. Sometimes I have business projects that I'm working on that I need some help, and I go take advantage of it. Other times I have some openings in my schedule, and I just want to go learn something new, and so I pick something and I schedule it. I go, you know, I've been storing photos on the computer forever, but I really don't know much about how to use this program. I think I'll go take a class on how to do this. Do I want to go every Tuesday night from 7 to 10 for 3 weeks? No. I want to go waltz down to Apple next Thursday from 2 to 3, and that's all I want to devote to it. My point is that there's an adventure here. There's an opportunity here. But, you know, just like in business, when you're doing your planning, you need to define your core values and your skills that you have at this point in your life, and then get creative on how you can build or find an environment that matches or lets you utilize those. You know, for many people, this is the stopping point. They go, Doug, nothing comes to mind. I don't have anything I'm passionate about. I don't want to do traveling. I don't want to paint. I can't think of a new business I want to start. I can't retire because I don't know what I would do instead. So, okay, let's just think about this for a minute. Have you ever had any other major life-changing events in the past that you had to deal with that are as big or maybe impactful as retiring? Let me give you a few suggestions. How about you changed your job or your career or even your first job? Those were really impactful. So what did you do? Well, you probably did some research on what was available to someone with your skills. You probably determined where you were willing to live. You thought about the working conditions that you needed, the hours you were willing to work, the pay you needed, the benefits, the challenges, the values that were important to you. You probably talked to others who'd recently made a similar change. Maybe you even employed someone, a consultant, to help you find a job or even help you identify what you're qualified for and interested in. Let me give you another. How about buying a new home? One of the biggest decisions most of us make in our career. You didn't just go look at what you could afford, although that certainly was a prime consideration. You looked at the location. Where do I want to live? Who are the neighbors like? What's the community like? What's the access to public services that are important to me? Is it close to a hospital because I have certain medical conditions? Is it close to a library because I like to use the library? Whatever. You identified the size of the house. Maybe you identified the size of the yard that you needed. You identified how many bedrooms, how many baths, how many extra rooms did you need for the study, the office, the sewing room, whatever. You know, those were two major things. How about the third one? Selecting a spouse. No, I'm not going to go into that one. I think you have the point. The point here is, you did some research. It wasn't just self-evident to you as to what house you should buy or what job you should change to or what career you should change to. You needed a plan. You needed a list of criteria. You needed a schedule. You need to recognize that in retirement planning, here's the good and the bad news, that this plan is probably going to change in 5 to 10 years due to your health, due to the market for your skills, and due to your desire to keep on doing whatever it was you decided to do. The good news is the flexibility here. The bad news is if you're somebody who doesn't like change, hey, you're going to have to deal with it. Now, this is not a plan that you're going to create in the next 5 minutes. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes a lot of hard work. And frankly, I think it takes some help from someone, from your coach or from someone. Those are some of my thoughts about what retirement is, the impact it's having on the working employee. You know, we used a term early on that I forgot to sort of define, and that was the term semi-retirement. What we're finding more and more is people do not want to stop working completely. They like what they do. They may even like the company they do it for. They're just tired of working the 40-hour work week or the 60-hour work week or whatever it is. And their idea of retirement is, hey, could I stay here, keep doing the job I'm doing, but only work part-time? For them, that's sort of an ideal situation. They get to maintain their comfortable surroundings, their comfortable environment. They get to use their knowledge that they've spent years building at this company. And they get the flexibility of not having to go to work every day. You know, it's been, maybe it's due to health reasons. Maybe it's due to somebody else's health reasons. Maybe it's due to the fact that I don't need that much money anymore, and I don't feel like putting in that much time. So cut my pay in half and let me work half time. Well, what's the impact of that semi-retirement on businesses? You know, we've talked about the individuals, but, you know, what does it mean when we have this movement of people staying in the workforce longer, and how are we as employers going to handle that? You know, what do we do when they don't automatically leave when they hit 65 or whatever that number is? What we have to do is we have to recognize that if they do stay beyond that sort of retirement age, that their objectives of what they want out of their job are very likely going to change. They may want to work less hours. They may want to have longer times off to do more extensive travel or whatever it is they're doing. You may have to, as an employer, invest in additional training to help keep them relevant on their jobs. You may have to look at revising your benefit, how your benefit plans treat less than full-time employees. Maybe they're not willing to give up their benefits, but maybe they're willing to give up some of their salary. So can you work out with your insurance people how you can offer the benefit package that would be attractive to a less than full-time employer? They may not even need any benefits. There's the good news. There may be requirements that you have to address as an employer around their physical environment. You know, older people may need better lighting, bigger computer monitors. They may need to work less hours in the day. They may not have the flexibility of putting in overtime when those rush jobs come up. There may be other physical restrictions or limitations, you know, lifting, how much can they lift, those kinds of things. You may have to face the fact that your insurance costs as a company may go up due to the increase in the average age of your staff if you keep these people on your benefit plans. And here's the one that's really difficult. You need to get rid of your prejudice that older workers aren't productive and are lacking in creativity. I don't know if that was ever true. If it was, it might have been true back when 65 was old. When people weren't flexible at 65 in their thinking, they didn't have the ability we have today to keep up with what was going on in the world. But, you know, come on. Today it's hard to tell in terms of performance the difference between a 65-year-old and a 25-year-old, but that's not a good example because the 65-year-old is probably outperforming the 25-year-old in many cases, you know. But there's some good news about keeping these people in the workplace longer. You eliminate training a totally new person and the cost of recruiting them. There's less disruption with your production and with customers due to the fact that you don't have that employee turnover. There's that retention of corporate knowledge, those things about that knowledge of how we do things that's never been put into a policy manual. You know, this movement also means that there's a whole new workforce, maybe not your employees, but there's a whole new workforce available to you to fill positions if you're willing to deal with some of these restrictions. But listen to this. They come with experience. They come with a tested work ethic. And they probably have less long-term demands for salary and promotions than the people you've been hiring. So these are some of the things that as an employer, whether we like it or not, they're here. Some of the people we've got aren't going to leave when we thought they were. Some of the people that we're looking to hire, when we put out that opening notice, the notice that we have an open position, you're going to find that you're going to get a lot of people that may be older, may have a different profile than what you are used to looking at. Let's have an open mind to that. Let's look at the trade-offs. Is it worth better lighting and a bigger computer monitor to get someone that isn't going to be on your benefit plan, that comes in for a half day but is totally motivated and has full energy for the 4 hours they're there rather than paying for somebody to work 8 hours that has only 6 hours worth of energy? These are some things that are, they're here now. This is not a movement that's going to take place in the future. We are living it right now. I want to sort of wrap it up with a quick comment. I ran across a term I hadn't thought about. It was in a book written by Chris Farrell, and the book was called The book was called, let me see, I have it here on my desk, so let me just grab it because it's great. The book is called On Retirement, okay, by Chris Farrell and Lori Flynn. Got it. Sorry about that. In his book, he points out the fact that there is a lure of entrepreneurship among seniors that is getting even stronger. You know, entrepreneurship is flexible. It allows individuals to design their ventures to suit their needs, whether it's limiting their work hours or working alone or deciding to work with partners or concentrate on current income or building future value or focusing on long-term goals versus short or short versus long-term. You know, all of those flexibilities, that all of that flexibility is available to owners of businesses. And what we are starting to see is more and more new businesses being started by what we're probably incorrectly calling elderly, retired people. So great opportunity here. Now, one of the other great opportunities is if you are thinking about you're doing your own retirement planning, is just pursuing the idea of having your own business and the work that you would go through, the research and the exploration about what kind of business and where and how you would want it to be. That exercise alone, even if you decide not to acquire or start a business, might provide you some valuable insight into what you really want to do in this next stage of your life. Well, that's pretty much it for today. I felt compelled to talk about this. I have I see a lot more of the struggle about what retirement is and how we deal with it, both from an employer and from the individual point of view. And I think it is an opportunity for coaches. It's an opportunity for progressive HR people and for business owners to really sort of shake up things and look at employees, older employees, differently than they have in the past. So be sure to explore it. You know, if you're listening to our podcast, well, thank you very much for visiting our website, The Coaching Perspective, or our podcast site, dgefeller.podbeam.com. While you're there, be sure to check our archives for shows from the past with some great guests. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for coaches or CEOs or HR professionals to interview. Just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, this is Doug Gefeller. I hope that you've enjoyed the show today and that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.